Good morning, everybody, and I'm back again. Can't get rid of me. Although as much as my children pray for that, my grandchildren, they can't get rid of me. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, may your spirit be present with your grace and love on this message for the laity of your church. In his name we pray. Amen. Today's message, as you see on the bulletin, therefore go with hope. And the message is through offering Christ. But you look at the front, therefore go with hope through hospitality, offering Christ, purpose, engagement. A big mouthful. I sometimes wonder who creates these wonderful themes that the laity have to join to. And I shake my head because love, faith, something simple. But no, they go really out for it. But at least the bulletin that they created for you today. If you get bored, you can color. So if you have the children's pack nearby, get your colors out. You can fill in all of the open letters. You can draw. There's room for everything. So don't go to sleep. If you're nodding off, get your colors out. Create something beautiful today. So Laity Sunday is a special Sunday that was established by the General Conference to be observed on the third Sunday of October. It focuses on the ministry of all of us, of all Christians. The word laity itself comes from Laos, meaning people of God, and it's used to describe members of a congregation. That's us, as Patty says, the we, that's us. Methodism, in its roots, has a long history of celebrating and recognizing the laity in the church. In the early days of American Methodism, the laity is who served and maintained the congregations between the circuit riders that went around. So circuit rider may only visit once every 3 months. So in the meantime, what did you do? They didn't want to do anything. So the laity took over. They helped keep things going. Today, lay people are the front line of daily ministry. They're at the workplace. They're at the homes. They're within the communities. They are the ones on the sidewalks every day, in the grocery stores. Our clergy is too, but there's a whole lot more of us, laity, than there are the clergy. So we have to play that role. The earliest plans for the Methodist Church for Laity Sunday was way back in 1928, and it was called Layman's Day. Well, Methodist Church, luckily, they are a smart church, and they changed that name in 1968, I think, someplace, where they became not just Layman Sunday, but Laity Sunday. It was the first celebration was in 1929, and then the Book of Discipline in 1944 took its direction there. And the direction was, in 1968, says, it shall be to interpret the role of the laity in the world and provide laity, laymen, the opportunity to witness their faith in Jesus Christ and their commitment to mission in the world. By 1972, the Book of Discipline, it was renamed to Laity Sunday, and it's celebrated on the third Sunday in October, and the themes are built 4 years in advance. So every quadrennial, the Association of the Annual Conference of Lay Leaders are approved by the board, and it's set forth so that we can start getting ready for next year's Laity Sunday service because we have it for the next 3 years. But the whole idea is that we need this whole body of the church in order for the church to grow. We need the whole body of Christ when we seek to become more vital congregation. Our job is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And I've been doing Laity Sunday for a couple of years now, and transformation of the world is vital. It's there every year. We're talked about as the laity is there for us to make disciples and to transform the world. It's a big undertaking, but one step at a time, we can move forward. And as the church evolves, sometimes the model of the clergy, and we as laity let that happen. It's much easier to sit back, show up on Sundays, listen, walk out the doors, and go do your jobs. And everything else is up to the clergy. Clergy has to raise everything. They have to make all the disciples. They have to do everything. But The Methodist Church didn't see it that way. The Methodist Church has always looked to the laity. We need to look at that and return to our Wesleyan foundations. That's where it started. Our roots there, the fundamental purpose of the church, was to make disciples of Jesus Christ. This has caused a change in the relationship between clergy and laity. We need to work together. They direct things. We're the hands and feet that can do things. It means the church in the world today, that we have a partnership with the clergy. We're part of it. We don't just sit and are sideliners. We're not on the bench. We have to be active and play our role in it. And that partnership was the foundation of the early Methodist church movement. In Wesley's Methodism, people were given the opportunity to be leaders. Church of England had never seen that before. The leaders were the leaders. Everybody else sat back, kept your mouth closed, and prayed silently. But Wesley saw it a different way. He wanted the lay people to play a role, to be instrumental. You can't transform the world with one when you can look at 100 or 50, that we can be outreaches for the clergy. Methodism was a kind of school for leadership development. They helped to nurture the gifts, identify people's strengths and talents, and they were very good at deploying people in the special areas that they were good for. And that was true in the early American Methodist Church. The leadership opportunities in the early beginnings were constrained by gender, but the Methodist Church was very forthcoming in making that change and move along as women became more prominent. We have some religions that haven't noticed women yet, but the Methodist Church has done a good job of doing that and making us all equal partners in his job to transform the world. When Wesley was sending off Thomas Cook as he stood on the pier to send him on a mission trip to America, he said, "Offer them Christ, Thomas." So as part of that mission, Thomas was to ordain Francis Asbury and others into ministry. And they did that. They came and offered Christ, and the movement that started in America was astronomical. It was unbelievable what they were able to accomplish. It was growing. It was alive. It was responsive to go therefore and make disciples of nations. And they were the laity. They baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They went offering Christ so others had an opportunity to make a commitment to Jesus. They gave their lives of humble service. And when Jesus said to his early disciples, as they were trying to decide who was going to be able to sit on his right hand or his left hand, he said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And Cook and Asbury did that. They did. They went out into the world and outreach and mission. They offered hope. They used the method of Methodism to make disciples. And they worked together. They offered Christ, and they offered opportunities for the people to do things, to commit their lives and nurture them in Christian living. So we can do the same thing. And we look at it all through our lives and through what we can do through hope. During this movement, Wesley's legacy of empowering the laity to be in the ministry, they provided leadership in that methodical system of discipleship. Methodists had a real reason, a real method to do things. And more people made commitments to Christ. And they were nurtured by the church. And they were sent out to be ministers to others. We still look at our governing authority. That needs to be there, the governance of the church. And the power rests in the hands of the clergy. But the records show that the Methodist Church knew that the hands of the laity helped accomplish great things. It was those people that went out and worked for social needs. and led to class meetings and served as stewards and trustees and directed orphanages and schools for poor children and preached to the masses. The laity was able to do that and accomplish so much more. So the American Methodist churches began with an impetus from the lay people, and they went all over the country. And as we grew in the early 19th century, new ministries developed within the denomination, and it was all because they were energized by the laity. And we need a time of our world now that we have to assume that role again. It's still so important for us to be that laity, to reach out to, that we are empowered to do things. We can play a significant role, just like our giveaway. Reverend Becky got it all set up, but we need a lot of helping hands to carry that stuff from the basement to outside. Judy says, "We're getting old. Do you think we can get that?" I said, "We will be able to do that." We all put our hands in. The United Methodist Book of Discipline states the witness of the laity is the primary evangelical ministry. Primary. That means we're important. We have to do our job, not just read about it, but do something about it. In 2008, the General Conference amended the membership vows, and for the first time since 1932, it requires each member to not only commit to prayer and other gifts and service for the church, but also to witness for the church. That was added, that we witness for the church. So our process as a congregation is to offer hope, and that's what the hope stands for. And when you look at it on your bulletin, you'll see the different meanings. It's a community that we serve. And when we look to hope, H is for hospitality, that we reach out and receive new people, and we're a home to them. We can offer our love and our support. What would happen if our congregation began to pray, "Send us the people that nobody else wants," or "Help us receive the people that you are sending us"? Hospitality, that's number one. We have to offer that. Our doors are open, but you have to feel welcome. This year's message, offer Christ. Offering opportunities to make a commitment to Christ. What would happen if you took John Wesley seriously and began to offer them Christ as they became a part of your fellowship, of your congregation? Just come in, we have to offer you Christ. And that can be through a smile, through a handshake, through a phone call, that they see Christ in each one of us. P is for purpose. Growing in faith through participation is a means of growing in your grace. What would happen if our congregation began to meet in small groups and we developed relationships and spiritual disciplines? And we do that. Sunday school is a small group, Methodist women, Methodist men. We may not have as many meetings as we used to. We don't go into the homes like sometimes, but we have small groups. We do all kind of things. We do retreat days. We do sewing days. We do painting days. We do cleanup days. That's how we get together. We have a Halloween party. But what is it? What is the basis of that? That is the hospitality and the fellowship of making a family, that we're together and that we have a purpose together. And E is engagement, helping to transform our surrounding community. What would happen if your congregation began to develop relationships in the community with local schools, with people living in poverty, with health care facilities? I think we do that. We've got a good start. Can't stop. Got to find some more ways that we can engage in our hospitality and engage in our offering Christ and engage in our purpose. But we can do that. We as United Methodists are called to change the world by hope. And we can do that with God's love and through Jesus Christ. May God bless you and our efforts as we try to go out and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We as laity and clergy together, that we work in unity and for God's purpose. Amen.